Hello again. It's good to be here with Joel, catch up with my brother, and pray with him. And I hope that you're all having opportunities to reach out and just talk with your brothers and sisters and pray and check in on each other. I want to go ahead and start with some scripture and a prayer, just to get us started right now. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103. Turn to Psalm 103, and we'll read a few verses together and go ahead and pray. So turn to Psalm 103. And starting in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind is passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts to do them. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you who serve Him, doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you works of His, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are very thankful for your presence, very thankful to come before you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, even though as brothers and sisters we're apart right now, all of us are in your presence. And we all can stop and worship you right now. And thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And the greatest blessing of all is your Son, the forgiveness of our sins, and in your Son, that your loving kindness is over us. It covers us. Your grace covers us forever. So, Lord, let us just take a moment right now and worship you and settle our minds on you. Let us focus on him for a moment. Our Lord is sovereign. It says, just read in Psalm 103, that he heals all your diseases. And we know that God heals, and he also causes sickness. And he is sovereign. He's in control. We need to be thinking and praying for those who are sick and for those who have lost loved ones through this virus. Just before I left the house to walk over here, Julie and I were talking, and she said that two police officers in Riverside County have passed because of this virus, and we know that there's been many others, but let us just to be mindful, prayerful for those who are fighting this right now, and for those who are the doctors and the nurses, and even those that are working in grocery stores that are in a place of danger and susceptible to this virus. We need to thank them when we see them and pray for them. Again, if you look online, you'll see an order of service, and so we encourage you to go there. It has a list of things to pray for right now, and then some songs to sing, and just a way to lead you, if you're there with your family, to lead your family through a service to worship the Lord. So we encourage you to look at that and listen and sing and pray what's there. So we found out this week that President Trump announced we will not be going back to normal until after April 30th, whatever normal will be. We're going to continue our stay-at-home order and to just leave only when necessary through April 30th, as far as we know right now. And then just as I was leaving too, Julie was looking online and saw that Riverside County, earlier this week, they recommended that if you leave your home, if you're going out to shop or take care of necessities, they recommended that you wear a mask. But just today, Riverside County put out an order. It's now an order that if you are out taking care of necessities, that you do wear a mask. So just to make you aware of what our authorities are requiring of us right now. And of course, again, we want to be good examples and comply to their requests, just as long as they don't request us to do anything that would lead us to disobey our Lord. So we will be continuing having online services through April 30th. And this also means that next Sunday, April 12th, which is Easter Sunday, that we will not be meeting together. And we've been talking about and trying to come up with some ideas for us as a church to still make Easter a special time. And because it is a very special time. Now, we are supposed to celebrate our Lord and Savior's resurrection every day. Remember his resurrection every day. But it's correct for us to take a day out of the year to celebrate and really focus and just make much of our Lord rising from the dead having victory over death for us. But we've been discussing it, and so we've come up with a plan, and here's our plan for Easter. Because it's going to be difficult for us to capture the joy of Easter having to be apart, we're still going to have an Easter sermon next Sunday, but we are planning to have an Easter service later when we all come back together. And so Easter is usually something that floats around on the calendar. Its days change when we celebrate Easter, so we figured that it wouldn't be too odd to say, you know what, we're going to celebrate Easter on a different day this year. So we're going to do that. And our plan is that 3 Sundays after we're able to come back together and meet, we will celebrate an Easter service. We'll celebrate our Lord's resurrection. So the first Sunday back will be a reason to celebrate, but there'll be mixed emotions too. It'll be our first time back together. We'll have been over a month doing social distancing and staying at home. So there's going to be mixed emotions when we get back together that first Sunday. And then our second Sunday, we'll recognize Palm Sunday, and we'll begin the Holy Week and remembering our Lord and Savior in His last week on this earth. And then after our second Sunday, the following Friday, we'll have a Good Friday service. And then on the third Sunday, we'll celebrate Easter together. And we'll celebrate it in a major way, all right? We will really rejoice over our Lord and Savior's victory over death, and especially that we can be back together. We'll enjoy a lunch together and some activities for the children. So just to keep that in mind, and we want you to celebrate Easter with your family and to do that, but we want to really celebrate together. So we're going to plan to do that. And so these plans that I just mentioned, they're on the website. So if you just want to look at them again, or just to make plans or to invite family or friends, you can find those plans on the website. So last Sunday, I shared with you a story about our daughter, Eliana, and our 4-year-old daughter, our oldest. And I told you about how Eliana came up and whispered in mine and Julie's ears and just saying that she's ready to accept Jesus into her heart. Anyway, Julie and I both, we sat her down and asked her questions, you know, about sin and how she felt about her sin and what sin was. And after asking those questions, we just, you know, she didn't really know how to answer. And so we felt like, well, she's not ready. And anyway, I was thinking about that all this week. I was thinking about it. You know, Lord, you know, was I wrong? What, you know, praying for her? What should we do? And anyway, for those of you that heard that story and prayed, and some of you talked to me about it and called and talked to me about it, I thank you for your prayers just wanted to let you know that Friday night, that was last night, Saturday night right now for us, but Friday night, Eliana, again, we were sitting there together, and just with an urgency, she said, Mommy, Daddy, I'm ready to accept Jesus into my heart. And so we talked with her again, and Julie had been talking to her all week about sin and what sin was and how it hurts God and how it angers God. So we asked her those questions again, and she was able to answer them. And so after just talking with her and Julie and I talking, we helped her pray and asked Jesus to give her a new heart and to help her to confess that Jesus is Lord and that she believes that Jesus rose from the dead. And so it was exciting. She was so happy, so excited, and we were too. And she slept so peacefully last night, and then, you know, today we were talking about the earthquake last night and the danger of it, and she was just like, "I'm so happy. I accepted Jesus in my heart." And she was just so excited, and it's just, wow, you can tell a difference. So next we're praying for our daughter that she'll be brave to be baptized. But we told her that we won't force her. We'll just be praying for her, and that when she's ready to let us know. But we know that if her profession of faith is genuine, if it's real, that she will have the courage to be baptized. We know that Philippians 2:13 says that, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work according to His good pleasure." It is God who is working in you. And so last Sunday I was emphasizing that genuine conversion is a result of a supernatural work of God. And I want to read this passage that shows that very thing. You can turn there. Ezekiel 36. Turn to Ezekiel 36, verses 24 through 28. Ezekiel 36, 24 says, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God." And so, regeneration, which is the very nature of a person being changed, making him responsive to the will of God, that's what regeneration is. Regeneration is initiated by God. God is both the author and the finisher of our salvation. And so, we cannot say for certain, but we believe the Lord is doing a miraculous work in our daughter. And we can't see her heart. We can't see her heart if it is genuine in believing that Jesus rose from the dead. But we sure do want to thank those who've been praying for our kids and for Eliana. And as I said, we do believe the Lord is doing a miraculous work. So thank you. It's a reason to rejoice. So this week, I was talking with Bertha. And Bertha is Pastor Bob's wife. And Pastor Bob has been an elder and especially a pastor in our fellowship here in Anza for coming up on 34 years. And as I was talking to Bertha, she encouraged me this week, and I was telling Bertha, you know, we need to figure out different ways to keep us connected and doing Bible studies together in this time. Angela Adulin is doing a women's Bible study through Job right now that has really been a blessing for Julie and for me, because we've both been reading through Job together. So thank you, Angela, for what you're doing. But, you know, with that in mind, I was thinking, we gotta do more. And I was sharing this with Bertha. And Bertha said this. She said, why not look at this time as a sabbatical. All right? Look at this as a sabbatical time. It's a time where we can focus on personal Bible study. Okay? It's a time where we focus on personal Bible study. You can study something that you've been wanting to study for a long time, but you just haven't had the time to do it. Maybe, want to study about how to love, or you don't understand the Sabbath, so I've been wondering, what does the Sabbath mean for us? So just take this as a time to focus on those things if you're one of those that has a lot of time right now, and if you're home from work. I know that's not true for everyone, but this is really a sabbatical time where we can spend quality time with the Lord. And so that was very encouraging to me, Bertha. And I wanted to encourage the rest of the fellowship with that, to really focus on a time of personal study. So as I said, a lot of us have more time. We have to stay home. And I'm sure there's a lot of projects we all have that we've been putting off for a long time. So there's still a lot to do. But we do have time to slow down right now. A time to slow down, and we can examine ourselves. We can examine how we spend our time. We can examine our priorities. We can examine what is most important. We have more time to spend with our families, which is a blessing. Well, hopefully that is a blessing. I can't remember if I already said this joke, but but I believe that parents are going to figure out a cure for the coronavirus before doctors are, because there are a lot of parents that are just fed up with their kids right now. But that was kind of a lame joke, but I know that that's not true for a lot of you out there. So a lot of you are thankful for this time with your families. I was just talking with Sarah Pena yesterday and Felix and Flora have moved down to Temecula, and they've made it down there and finished the move. And Sarah was just saying that she was thankful for this time because her family and extended family were able to really help Felix and Flora in the move and just take care of them. So praise the Lord for that. And she was saying that Luis is having more time with Noah, even though Noah does miss Papa. He's having some time with Luis right now, so that's been a blessing too. So I know that's the case for a lot of you. But most importantly, we have more time to spend with our Lord. That's the most important thing. That we should be spending time with. We have more time to be still and know that He is God. We have more time to just be silent and have some solitude time with Him. More time to pray. More time to be in His Word. But the problem is that we consider that list I just mentioned. We consider prayer and silence and solitude or just time in His Word. A lot of times we consider that more of a luxury than a necessity. The busyness of life and things that need to be done will push time with the Lord aside. Peter Scazzero, in his book Emotionally Healthy Spiritually, he puts it this way. He says, almost everyone is busy, whether a teenager or a senior citizen, a mom at home with small children, or a corporate executive, a teacher or a student, rich or poor, Christian or not. We are overscheduled, we're tense, frantic, preoccupied, fatigued, and starved for time. Julie and I were just reading through Job in preparation for the women's Bible study. I was reading with her, and in Job chapter 2, verse 13, we read about Job's three friends that come to console him and comfort him. And it says in chapter 2, verse 13, that his three friends, that they came to him and sat down with him for 7 days and did not say a word. They just sat there in silence, grieving with Job for 7 days. You know, we hear that and we think, yeah, right. 7 days of sitting in silence. That's not even possible in our time. There is way too much to do. I don't even have 5 minutes to sit in silence, let alone 7 days to sit with someone and comfort them. In some ways, we have been given a gift right now to slow down. To slow down. But the issue is not just slowing down our busy schedules and lives. The real issue is, are you paying attention to God? The real question is, are you paying attention to God? There's a good illustration of this in the scriptures. We read in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, the story of Mary and Martha. So again, in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, we read, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his words. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" And so anyway, we look at this story about Mary and Martha, and it really represents two approaches to the Christian life. All right? Two approaches to the Christian life. You have Martha's approach. And you see here, Martha is serving Jesus. She is serving Jesus. But she's not with Jesus. She's not with him. She's busy on activity and her to-do list. She is pressured and filled with distractions. Most likely, even if Martha was to sit down at Jesus' feet, she would be distracted with everything on her mind. She is irritable and anxious. Her life is out of order. And we can tell because she's telling God what to do. And then we also have Mary's approach. And Mary's approach is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus. She's just being with Jesus. She is loving him, attentive to Him, quiet, and taking pleasure in His presence. She has slowed down enough to focus on Jesus and to center her life on Him. So yes, we do have work to do. Yes, we are to be active. And these are blessings from God. God has given us work as a blessing. He gave work to Adam in the garden. Work is meant to be a blessing. But we just have to learn how to balance Mary's approach and Martha's approach. We need to balance those two in our lives. Because if we really want to be active and productive, if we want to be productive, we really only can do that by having a life with God, by living life at His feet. So when we gain the ability to bring together activity, the things that we have to do, our to-do list, with being with God, contemplating on Him, it brings a beauty and a harmony to our life, clarity and joy, as we balance those two, activity and just focusing on God and loving Him. And anyway, the reason that we need to stop and be with God is so we might create a continual and easy familiarity with God's presence at all times. We have to stop. We have to slow down. We can contemplate God's presence while working. We can contemplate God's presence while we're playing, while we're cooking, taking out the garbage, driving. We can contemplate God's presence as we're spraying everything down with disinfectant or washing our hands for the 20th time in a day. But this requires that we slow down and that we pay attention to Him. We all know the great commandment, and know that our goal in life is to love God with our whole being, to be consistently conscious of God through our daily life, whether it is when we are stopped like Mary at the Lord's feet, or whether we're active like Martha, taking care of the tasks of life. So, the practice of contemplating on God or just being with Him is very, very important. And we do that practically through silence and solitude, meditation on Scripture, on prayer, observing the Sabbath, and then there's something else that maybe you've never heard of, but many prominent Christians from church history would do, and it's called observing the daily office. Observing the daily office. So I want you to remember that phrase, because that's what we're going to talk about some right now. The daily office. So if I see you and I ask, have you been to the office today? I'm not talking about if you've been to work or whatever place you go to earn money. But this is what I'm talking about, and I'll explain. So that list that I just read, these things help us to tune into God and realign with Him. As we do these things, they help us to incline our hearts to His words and to His will. They help us to open our eyes to see His glory. They help us to unite our heart to fear His name. And they help us to be satisfied with His loving kindness and His love for us. And they also, prayer, scripture reading, meditation on scripture, those things also help us to stop. They help us stop. Because again, the question is, things have slowed down, but are you paying attention to God? The Sabbath practice of truly stopping one day each week to rest, to delight in God's creation, to take care of ourselves, anchors us in the practice of being with God rather than just doing activity and doing things. The daily office, which is stopping for God at repeated intervals during each day. All right, that's what the daily office is. It's like you enter into God's presence in your spiritual office, and you're alone, and you stop, you just shut the world out, and you come into His presence. All right, that's the daily office, stopping for God at repeated intervals during each day. Also helps us to commune with God all throughout the day. And so now that things have slowed down for us, let's pay attention to God. And these two things, I'm actually going to only have time to talk about the daily office, but observing the daily office and the Sabbath are two ways to help us to keep our minds paying attention on God. They help us do this. So here's an illustration to help us understand. Farmers in the Midwest, when a blizzard would happen, okay, there'd be severe blizzards, farmers would have to tie a rope from the front door of their house to the barn, so that when they had to go out to the barn, if that blizzard was severe, they could find their way back to the house by holding on to that rope. The blizzards would get so bad that you can't even see your hand in front of you. The blizzards would be so bad. So because of that, if someone lost their grip on the rope, or if there was no rope at all, people would just get lost in the blizzard. And they would get lost, and they would freeze to death, and they would be found just feet from their house, but they couldn't see the house. But they were just feet away from it, from safety. And actually, this practice is still advised today in places like Canada or really cold climates where blizzards happen. People are requested to tie a rope to their house and hang on to the rope if they have to leave the house. So for many of us, we have lost our way spiritually. In the business and the demands of life, which can be like a blizzard. And this happens because we say yes to too many things in our lives. And so our lives are overflowing with activity. This causes us to be overscheduled, tense, addicted to hurry, frantic, preoccupied, fatigued, and starved for time. And then if you add to that the storms and the trials that come in our life unexpectedly, and they catch us off guard, we wonder why so many of us are disoriented and confused. And we need a rope to lead us home. And so this practice of a daily office, which I'm going to explain to you some more in a moment, it's like a rope that's tied to God, so that when things are going crazy and spinning out of control around us, we can grab onto this rope. And that this is a practice in our lives that we are continually doing, will be quick to get to this rope and get us back to the Lord. This idea of spiritual office is not meant to burden you. I'm not trying to put more on your to-do list of things to do. That's not what this is. Practicing a daily office, it will transform our lives. It'll help us to work better. It'll help us to be more efficient. Another illustration that I read in Emotionally Healthy Spiritually was talking about a group of settlers that were leaving from Missouri, from St. Louis, Missouri, and they were on their way to Oregon. They were Christian settlers, and they were on their covered wagons, and along the way, they would stop for Sabbath. They would take a day to stop and worship the Lord each week. Well, as they were going, they realized that they were running a little late and that they were going to be hitting winter and that they needed to hurry. And there was a group within that camp that said, well, we need to stop observing Sabbath. We cannot take a day off. We have to keep going. And then there was another group that said, no, we will observe the Sabbath. And even if it puts us in danger, we will take a day to trust in the Lord. And anyway, this group of settlers, guess which one made it to Oregon first? It was the ones who continued to stop for the Sabbath, because as they stopped and rested and sought the Lord and realigned with Him, they had that rest and they were able to go faster and longer when they were working. And so this idea of rest is so important. It makes us more productive. This is not a burden. This is meant to relieve you. Relieve your burden. At the heart of the daily office is to stop and to surrender to God in trust. All right, when we say that we're going to stop right now for a few minutes or 10 minutes, or 20 minutes, we're just going to stop. That takes trust in the Lord. All right? Because we have to trust that, hey, if we stop working right now, if we stop doing these tasks, that they're still going to get done and things aren't going to go crazy and out of control. To just stop, to focus on the Lord, means that we got to trust Him. It's an act of trust. And we see how the Lord wants us to trust Him in like Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 14, where it says, and Moses said to the people, and this is when they're fleeing from Egypt and Pharaoh is right on their tail, ready to come, and they're standing at the Red Sea, and they're freaking out, and Moses says, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. I love that passage. And so God has given us a rhythm to live by. We are to stop frequently and surrender to Him. Surrender to trust in Him. To trust in His will, and trust in His provision, and to trust in His salvation. And so that is why we stop to observe a time known as the daily office. We go to the office. The daily office could also be called an hour of prayer, or you could also call it the divine office. It's different than a devotion time, okay? It's different. For us, we consider devotion time as a time to get filled up for the day spiritually. So in the morning, we have a time of devotion to fill us up spiritually. And for some of us, we'll take that time to pray for the needs of the day, the things that we have planned, to lay them down before the Lord for His help. But the root idea or the root purpose of a daily office is not to fill up spiritually. It's not to lay down tasks and to ask the Lord for help with things. It's not to try to get something from the Lord. But the purpose of a daily office is just to be with the Lord. The purpose of the daily office is just to be with God, to be with Him. That's the whole purpose, just be with Him. The purpose of a daily office is to stop and be with our Heavenly Father. It is an act of offering. It's a time where we stop and we praise Him. It's a time where we thank Him for all His blessings. We just focus on Him. It's a time where we just worship Him. It's we want to lift up an offering of incense to Him, a sweet aroma of praise to Him. It says in Psalms 100 verse 4, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name." It's not meant to be a time to get anything from Him. It's meant to be a time to just stop and worship Him. And so the daily office is going to look different for each of us, all right? We'll do this in different ways. And what works for one person won't work for another person. And we'll do different things. We even see in Scripture God's people doing different things. We see in Psalm 119, verse 164, that David praises God seven times a day. He praises Him seven times a day. It says, "Seven times a day I praise You because of Your righteous ordinances." We see Daniel would take three times a day to pray. We see that in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. But many examples in Scripture. You can do this for 2 minutes, for 3 minutes, for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, but you just stop and you get alone with the Lord and you just be with Him, just worship Him. You can meditate on a passage, you can read a passage, you can pray, you can pray through one of the Psalms. There's a list of things that you can do and a variety of things. But the whole purpose is just to be with Him, to stop and be with Him. So for a daily office, there's four elements to a daily office for what we are to do. The first thing is just to stop. Stop. We stop our activity and pause to be with the living God. And as I said, central to the challenge of this is that we have to trust God. We have to trust that He's the one who rules. He's the one that takes care of everyone and everything on the whole planet. And He'll continue to do that when we sleep. He'll continue to do that when we're gone. He takes care of everything. We've got to trust Him. And so we stop. And so at each daily office, I give up control and trust God to run His world without me. All right, the second element is a centering on God or realigning to God. It says in Psalm 37:7, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." And so we are to move into God's presence and rest there in His presence. And this is not an easy thing to do. That could actually take a few minutes just to slow your mind down and to stop and center on God and focus on Him and worship Him. The next aspect, the third aspect, element of a daily office is silence. Okay, silence. We are to be silent, to find solitude. And solitude is something that we don't do much these days. But solitude is just the practice of being absent from people and things so that you can attend to God. Just absent from people and things. You know, leave your cell phone, go somewhere, be alone. Silence is the practice of quieting every inner and outer voice to attend to God. And this can be very challenging. And actually, just being silent is one of the least practiced things by Christians today. We see Elijah when he's fleeing from Jezebel in 1 Kings chapter 19. He flees and he hides in a cave, and we see a great wind that comes and crushes the rocks, but God was not in the wind. And there was an earthquake, massive earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. And there was a fire, but God was not in the fire. And in the King James, we see where it says that Elijah heard a still small voice. And in the NASB, it says the sound of a gentle blowing. But really, the best translation would have been the sound of silence. But how do you hear silence? The sound of silence that finally the Lord came to Elijah, spoke to him. And so it's a practice that we need to have too. And of course, Scripture. We ought to read Scripture in our time of daily office, to be meditating on Scripture that we've memorized. Psalms are the foundation of the daily office because Psalms, the book of Psalms, is so focused on God. It's so focused on God. And also covers all the different experiences and emotions of humanity. But of course, all of Scripture is, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so when I think of the daily office and what it is, I always think about Susanna Wesley. And Susanna Wesley, wife of a very prominent pastor, she had 19 kids. And with her 19 kids, she was absolutely busy and full of things to do. But I know that more now being at home with Truly. But there'd be times where she would just take her apron and put it over her head, and the kids would know, don't bother mom when her apron is over her head. She would have her Bible there and just have a daily office time with the Lord and read the scripture and just be with God. And that's an excellent example for us. And so, again, I do not say these things to burden you. The daily office is just a way to summon us to slow down and to be with Him. To slow down, to stop and worship Him, and to have this practice in our lives and to do it multiple times through the day. It'll be like we have our hands on that rope in a blizzard, and so that we will easily and quickly be able to find our way to God, no matter what's going on around us. And so it's such a powerful and important practice for us to have. And so we need to ask the Lord to help us in this, just to focus on taking time to stop and worship Him, to grab hold of these ropes that He's given us. And the idea of stopping to be with God one, two, or three times a day, it may seem overwhelming, but you know what? We do need Him. And so I encourage you to, in this time that we have of slowing down our lives, to begin this practice of the daily office. And just as important is the practice of observing the Sabbath, but we don't have time to talk about that now. That will be for another message. But let's go ahead and close our time right now with this benediction from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And so certainly having these times of stopping and being with the Lord to worship Him will also fill us with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're praying for you, missing you, and looking forward again to the time where we get to meet. And remember our Easter plans, and hopefully we'll have a date soon when we can meet together again, and we can let family and friends and the community know that we are going to have an Easter celebration. It's not going to be on April 12th, but we're going to have a major celebration to celebrate our resurrected Lord and Savior. So I love you, and praying for you, and hope that you're doing well. God bless you.